B-Pod Studios.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
At 98.5 of Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich, Ted Johnson, Joe Murray in studio this morning, and I just retweeted your thing, Joe. It's got a picture of Ted Johnson at Halloween as the Hulk and Joe Murray as the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and I just retweeted. I was like, who you got? who wins? They're both pretty damn fantastic, so that's at Toucher and Rich. All right, there was a story that the end of the show yesterday was chaos, and it was... Because I heard a story that I'd never heard before about you, Ted. So we had Zolak in studio, and it all kind of spawned on one of the listeners on the recap the other day saying that, is there anybody at the station that you think could kick Ted Johnson's ass? And they said Scott Zolak, which, by the way, is wrong. Scott Zolak even would be the first to admit it as well. Zolak said he told a story about how when you were playing, and can you kind of tell the story? Because I forgot which player you did this to, but you suffered an injury that I thought about it all day, how strange you described it.
Is that Jerome Bettis?
Jerome Bettis, yes.
That's right.
I couldn't believe that Zoe basically told the story with such detail. I mean, he was absolutely right. It was...
He's got a photographic memory. I mean, Zoe literally does.
It's amazing. Zoe was like, yeah, it was a Pittsburgh game in 1998. I was like, man, how'd you remember that? but it was that's exactly right. So I was playing. So people, a lot of times, when they think of my past, they think of the bicep tears. And that bicep tear that I had against the Pittsburgh Steelers 1998, week 12, it was the second play from scrimmage. It was an off-tackle play, and I'm reaching out. By the way, Jerome Bettis never got 100 yards on our defense.
Right.
I'm very proud to say that.
I think they called you like Ted the Head. I remember they had like a name for you.
That was the Buffalo Bills Ted the Head.
Okay.
Miami Dolphins Smith Head Ted. So we love playing the Steelers. We love playing Jerome Bettis because Jerome was – he's a very likable opponent. You know, I mean, he's one of those guys, he would play really hard, and we had really good battles against him, and we'd be talking so much smack during the games, but afterwards we'd all have a good laugh, right?
Sure.
It was just a mutual respect extended between both teams. But it was a second play from scrimmage in this game, and I reached out to tackle Jerome Bettis. Here's what people, when I talk about the bicep tear, it wasn't Jerome Bettis that ripped the bicep. It was, and a lot of times, more than not, and unfortunately, I have knocked two guys out, one guy out his career by accident, and the other guy missed some significant time from friendly fire. So I'm reaching out to tackle Jerome Bettis, and Lori Molloy hits my arm instead of Bettis.
Okay, so your arm is out. Where is Bettis?
Bettis is like at the, like my hand is grabbing his jersey, and it's fully extended my arm.
Okay.
And so my arm's fully extended, trying to make the tackle, grabbing his breastplate to bring him down. And Lawyer comes flying in from the safety position and hits my arm.
Oh, the back of your arm.
The back of my arm. And so the two opposite forces
hyperextended
and it snapped the bicep.
It could have broken your arm.
Could have broken my arm, but it didn't. It's the tendon. So what happens, you have a tendon that attaches to your bone at the elbow. And then you have two bicep tendons at the top that go into the shoulder. More times than not, when guys injure their bicep, it's usually at one of these top two tendons up by the attached to the shoulder. Mine was at the elbow, and it all of a sudden it was just sharp pain, and I just, oh, what was that? I looked down, the bicep had rolled up. Up off, so it tore off the bone and rolled up by my shoulder.
So it looked like
and
you
it's
had
up here,
two shoulder parts. Oh.
And it was just twitching. I just remember how it was spasming. And it just was going crazy. And there was a big hole where my bicep was.
Oh.
And then it rolled up. And so Zoe described that in perfect detail. And that was the end of my 1998 season.
Okay, so you're looking down, and not only do you have these two bumps right by your shoulder, and one of them's moving because that's
twitching,
your bicep.
Yeah.
But there's nothing between now like your skin and your bone.
At the elbow up to the kind of up towards the shoulder, it was nothing there. There was nothing there. That's where the bicep is now. That was all gone, and the bicep really rolled up. So, surgery, a day later, they pull the tendon down, and they sutured it at the top of the elbow.
Oh, geez. So you were saying that you don't realize how many things you use your bicep for on a daily basis. Like, what was the stuff that was tough to do that we wouldn't even think about?
Turn the key and get into my house. trying to turn the key to get into my house. So the bicep is so much of that strength is just turning a knob, turning to the knob, right, left. And so I couldn't do things where I had to, I could turn. So it was, and what happened was, unfortunately, the very next summer training camp, I tore my left bicep.
Oh, geez.
Reaching out to tackle Kevin Faulk in a training camp.
At training camp.
In the first week. And so I missed the first 10 weeks of that. Well, what has happened with that, that one didn't heal as well. So I don't have full range of motion in the left bicep. It was a little different procedure in how they attached the tendon back to the bone. They just did it a little differently. So I don't have full range of motion in this. I can't lay my hand flat in my left arm like I can in my right arm.
Yeah.
So what happens is a lot of times if I'm in a drive-thru and I extend to get my change back from the drive-thru lady, the change falls out of my hand because I can't lay my hand flat when I have extended. So, but yeah, those were just I put too much stress on my tendons.
So how do you lift weights then? I mean, do you
fully recovered now? It's no problem at all.
Okay.
I don't have necessarily like full extension from my arms. It's a little bit locked, if you will, because of the reattachment, but, I'm not hampered by much of my injuries. Well, other than my lower back, I've had chronic issues with it, but I can manage that.
As someone who has been injured on a football team, how much pressure is there to get back on the field from your teammates and the coaches?
I'd say it depends on the coaches. But there's always kind of this like
your coaches. Let's talk about when you play for the Patriots.
Were you on the IR, by the way, when that happened right away?
They put me on IR. Okay. I didn't think they would do that because I missed 10 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. But they kept me on the roster, so on the active roster. So I came back week 10, I believe, in 1999. You know what you feel pressure is when that you get asked almost every day about it. By different coaches. How's it feeling? What are you thinking? How's it looking? That's another way of saying, why don't you get your ass out there, kind of. I was lucky though, Rich. You know, I think it depends on the player. Most guys never questioned me or never. I never felt pressure to get. Well, more times than not, I never felt pressure to get out there.
Yeah.
But there are coaches that pressure you by just kind of constantly asking you what's in your position coaches ask you. Then your D coordinator asks you, your head coach will come over after his meeting. You know, I see him do that a lot with a lot of players. How you feeling? Yeah. You feeling okay? You know, what are you thinking? You know, and the players just, they don't want to say that, you know, that they're hurt. They want to say, yeah, I'll be out there.
Yeah.
And so
it's a weird thing you're dealing with because you want to get out there and play because you want to stay on this team and be valuable. However, you don't want to continue to do permanent damage to something that's probably still healing. Now, was there a sense that you ever had? Like, how prevalent is the sense in a locker room that there are players that are indeed dogging it and should be playing when they're, I don't want to say lying, but they might be not as eager to return as
there's a sense that somebody's doing that. That's which I didn't come across very often. And more times than not, guys kind of leave each other alone when it comes to contracts, injuries, that kind of thing. We all just kind of assume, you know, that you're telling the truth. But if there's any sense that somebody's dogging it, then guys will get on you. And I can't recall of like a specific incident where it looked like they were dogging it. Training camp, you might question that a little bit. Guys getting out of training camp
What about Terry Glenn? 2001 season, right? Wasn't that one of his big things?
Yes.
Hamstring when he came back, and
you know what? It's nobody's going to say anything to him. It's kind of like he was in his own. You know, if you know Terry Glenn's story, nobody's going to pressure Terry Glenn. Terry Glenn was a different cat. He had a really tough upbringing, and you like to stay out of people's business about that.
Yeah.
You know, you really
Parcells
do. You
was
know,
hard
you,
on him though.
You know, and
he
had his most productive season ever as a pro.
She had
90 catches. Her rookie year,
yep,
because it was tough love. And Pete came in and coddled him, and then that's where the problem started. You know, you need that accountability. Somebody with Terry Glenn's profile, hold him accountable. You can be tough with him,
yeah,
but it's the tough love. If you just basically acquiesce to everything and let him get off easy all the time, guys will, give him an inch, will take a mile sometimes.
Well, unfortunately, sports talk radio and our medium, also writers and things like that who cover teams, we have a reputation for calling out people who we think are dogging it. It happens.
Charlie McAvoy got a bunch of it earlier this year.
Yep. There's a lot of that out there. I like to think that, you know, we try to avoid doing that because to me, it's kind of cliche. Because, you know, who the hell knows? Did you ever hear that about you, or did you listen to any of that when you were a player?
No, I was never accused of that.
Not just you, but I mean, even like players, did you ever listen to the sports talk radio or read the papers and be like, if these jackasses only knew what was really going on?
Yeah. 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 That's the truth, and you can't say anything. I think that's for a lot. I think what happens to a lot of guys where they get really, really down on the media is when you are critiquing a player, thinking that he's 100%. And here's in the Patriots really frown on you talking about your injuries.
Yeah.
So you could have seriously something going on that is hampering your ability to play at the highest level that you're typically playing at, and people don't know about it. And yet you're being criticized week in, week out for your bad play. But yet you can't say, it's because I'm dealing with a bad ankle. It's
Brady.
Because I'm dealing with the shoulder.
It's Brady with the Achilles.
So what happens is, you hear more times than not, what happens is after the season's over, what do you hear? Someone leaks that the player was dealing with XYZ injury.
That's
the most maddening thing ever is for players is when they're judged without people having all the facts, you know, and that's the nature of it, and that's very difficult. Where a lot of guys on other teams that don't have the same rules that maybe the players do for the Patriots, they'll just say, "I'm dealing with this. I'm trying to get over this," and so everybody knows, hey, don't judge them, you know, as harshly because they're dealing with some kind of injury. Here with the Patriots, you don't say anything about your injuries, and so you go out there, and I feel like a lot of, it's unfair for the players. It really is.
Well,
that's the way it is, though.
Yeah, that's gotta suck. Well, we have Mike Gorman who's going to join us, the great Mike Gorman. We will talk to him right after.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Over the shoulder pass. Jokic, same spot for three. Got another one. Largest lead now for Denver, 101-92.
The Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We got Ted Johnson in studio, and of course, Joe Murray, and here to class up the joint, the gentleman we have on once a week, our good friend Mike Gorman. He is the voice of the Boston Celtics for NBC Sports Boston, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. And before I start, I will just say this because he is going to be way too humble to do so himself. The other night, he actually nominated my wife to be one of the heroes among us to be honored at the Celtics game. And when she even found out, she got choked up. And so during the game the other night, she stepped out in the court, and to have 18,000 people stand up and cheer for her is something that I don't think me or my kids will ever forget. So, Mike Gorman, you were the reason that happened. And I, of course, on behalf of my family, thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. Mary made that happen, though.
Yeah, she's kind of a badass, and I basically can't complain about anything in my whole life because she'll say, "Well, you know, I beat
Mary's the hero. Mary's the hero here." That was nice, and you know, I think those are one of the best moments of every Celtic game when they do have that Heroes Among Us program. But if there was a 30-40 second read that they actually did, 20 seconds into it, the whole place gave her a standing ovation. It was touching.
Yeah, it was great, and it was more than that too, because before the game, you know, they bring, you know, Mary and the kids down to the court. They let the guys do shoot around. But there's Mike Gorman. And, you know, of course, Mary wanted to thank Mike. And we go over and talk to Mike. And by the way, Mike is just Mr. Like, he's like the mayor. He's shaking everyone's hands. Everyone wants to meet Mike Gorman. And so we're talking to him. And finally, I say, "So, you know, how's Tommy doing?" He goes, "You guys want to speak to him?" I was like, "Sure." And I'm like, "Where's Tommy?" And we turn to our right, And there's Tommy just sitting in his seat, chilling back like the king of the TD Garden. It was like, you come to me.
Vince Carter came over and paid homage to him, too.
Of course, of course. He was the king.
He resembles Buddha, the way he sits
there. Yes, he did look very relaxed. But thank you once again. That was just, once again, something we'll obviously never forget. And Isaiah Thomas, speaking of things that he'll never forget, he's still just begging to be a Celtic. And unfortunately, when he, you know, I thought it was very cool of the Nuggets coach to let him play as long as he did, seeing that he was kept out of the game for the previous three. There's a lot of talk, Mike, about Isaiah Thomas, if next year the Celtics should look into, because Terry Rozier more than likely is not going to be here. Should the Celtics consider Isaiah Thomas to be a backup point guard, if indeed that chance is there?
Sure, why not? You know, he's not going to command a whole lot of money. He still is idolized by Celtic fans, as you could tell from the reaction in the Garden the other night. So, yeah, why not consider him? I mean, he's going to be an inexpensive free agent and at a position that the Celtics could potentially need help. So I don't think that's out of the question at all.
We had Chris Forsberg on, and he said something I thought was fairly interesting. Is that moment when the video played on the Jumbotron was strange for the sake of Kyrie Irving? Because right here is a guy, you know, I mean, Isaiah Thomas bled green. Like, all he wanted to do was be a Celtic, played his ass off every game, and this is almost kind of what Kyrie Irving wants. Like, he wants that kind of love and admiration. Do you think it would be strange if Kyrie Irving and Isaiah Thomas were both on the same team, seeing that the backup point guard, as of right now, is absolutely adored, and people are still trying to figure out Kyrie?
Yeah, because I think if Isaiah were to come back, he would be that. He would be the backup point guard. He wouldn't be coming back. He wouldn't be challenging Kyrie. It wouldn't be a good challenge for Isaiah to bite off right now at this point in his career. But the possibility for him to come back and be the second guy accepting that role coming in, you know, I'm dating myself here, but Vinny Johnson kind of role. Be a guy who comes off the bench, you give him two or three shots. If they go in, he stays in the game. If he doesn't, they don't go in, they pull him out of the game and try him again in the third quarter. The Pistons had great success when they were very good with a player like that. And that would be more the role I would see Isaiah filling than coming in and actually competing to be the starting point guard. And I think people would understand that's his role coming in, and the Celtics have a great history of six men. It could be a nice fit.
Hey, Mike, obviously the Celtics are in Philadelphia tonight. They've owned this series, if you really look at it, but they've improved their team. Now Jimmy Butler in the mix. Can you talk about Philadelphia? It's the last time they're going to meet this year, but your thoughts on tonight's matchup?
Yeah, I think it's a very big game for Philly. They can really deal the Celtics a blow in the sense of the Celtics having any hope to get to three, because we're down to 11 games left, and right now between the Sixers and the Celtics, as I look down here, is the three games in the loss column. So, as you know, that's a short period of time to make up three games. So it's a big game for Philly. If Boston beats them tonight, then all of a sudden the Celtics have a shot at third. If they don't, they probably have to start concentrating on the Pacers and try to get the home court and get the four spot. The Sixers showed you how important the game is to them. They didn't play Embiid last night against Charlotte and still were able to win. Redick almost had a triple-double, actually, in the game. But one telling thing, if you look at that Sixer box score, only five guys scored, and Amir Johnson was one of the five guys who scored. So the depth of this team is very questionable in my mind. They have a great starting five with Butler, Harris, Redick, Simmons, and Embiid. But once you go to the bench, you really, the drop-off is precipitous. So it'll be interesting to see how they hold up. You do shorten your rotation in the playoffs, so that plays in their favor. But I think the big thing is Al Horford, who I don't know if he's going to play tonight, because I think the Celtics do have plans over the next 10 or 11 games to give Al some rest. But Al has really had Embiid's number, and Embiid, for whatever reasons, when you watch him on highlight films, it looks like he's all world, and then he gets up against Al, and Al just owns him. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of different sidebars that are going to be interesting to watch tonight. If Horford plays, I'll be curious to see whether Embiid tries to take over the game and send a message, because over the last couple of weeks, he's been playing very, very well. The Sixers have won five in a row. This is a great spot for them. The building is going to be crazy. This is a great spot for them tonight. So I'd say it's a bigger game for Philly than it is for Boston right now, because in the back of the Celtics' mind, I think they think, yes, we can get to three, but we're probably going to end up four and probably going to end up playing the Pacers, and let's see what happens as we get down the road after that.
Hey Mike, I know Gordon Hayward's in the concussion protocol, and has been. He missed the last game because of it. I'm not sure if he's what his status is for tonight. But, look, he was playing really good on that West Coast swing, had a big game against Golden State, game winner against Sacramento on that West Coast four-game swing there. Comes back, he's been injured. But a lot of that talk during that kind of stretch he had of good games there in the West Coast, a lot of guys were saying he's so important. But when he gets going, we all kind of get going and feed off him. How important is Gordon Hayward? I know he hasn't had the best season. I know he's averaging just 10 points per game, and he's been injured a lot. But how important is this kid going to be when it comes to playoff time? How important is his role going to be in this whole thing if they're going to do well in the playoffs?
I think he has to play very well for the Celtics to do well. And this, you know, the kid seems to be snake bitten. Every time he gets plays a couple of good games in a row, something happens. He gets punched and elbowed in the eye. He gets gets this concussion. It was a clean screen by John Collins. It wasn't like it was a bad play. But so he just seems to run in bad luck. But my theory on this has been if Gordon can just be – he's not going to be the 30-point guy he was on that road trip. But if he can be somewhere between 21, 22 points a night and get you 6 or 7 rebounds and have 6 or 7 assists and establish himself as the number two guy, then it allows Tatum and Brown and Smart to be comfortable in the number three role and to probably exceed all expectations you would have of the number three guy. But if you have to take Jaylen or if you have to take Tatum or if you have to take Marcus and insert them and have them be your, quote, second guy, your number two guy behind Kyrie, I think, again, we're talking about kids that are pretty young. I think that's a lot of pressure on them, and I don't think that plays to the Celtics' strength at all. So I think for that reason, Gordon Hayward is key to Boston because he kind of, again, if he can just be accepted as the second guy behind Kyrie. Kyrie, whether Kyrie likes people taking pictures of him, whether Kyrie thinks the world is flat, whatever Kyrie thinks, it doesn't really matter. When they throw the ball up in the air, Kyrie's going to get you 25 to 35 in the game. He's going to get you 8 or 9 assists. He's going to get a couple of steals. He's going to get more rebounds than you think he would get. He's just a big-time player who is going to respond when the lights are brightest in the playoffs. So I have no worries about Kyrie. It's who is that second guy? Who is consistently the second guy? And I thought coming off the road trip before this concussion thing that Hayward had a real good chance of rounding himself into form and being that guy and taking a lot of pressure as a result off Tatum and Brown and Smart. But if this concussion protocol drags itself out, you know, this thing sometimes can be over in a week. Sometimes it's not over in 2 or 3 weeks. So that has kind of muddied the waters for the Celtics going into the playoffs.
Did you hang out with John Wallach last night or did you ditch him and leave him at the nerds table?
Actually, I had dinner with Mike Breen last night because I haven't seen Mike and I go way back. I hadn't seen him in a long time. But John and I sat together on the plane and talked on the flight down.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. John is Rain Man, isn't he? He's unbelievable.
Rain Man in what sort of way? That he just repeats the same thing over and over or what?
No, he just knows all this stuff, you know? He just has all this. It's like that morning you guys were doing, what, 90210.
Oh.
You know, that was incredible. Just erase some of that crap, John. You don't need that anymore.
Well, it's 90210 and early 90s hip-hop, kind of like Tommy Heinsohn's expertise.
Yeah, exactly. But we were talking pretty much basketball and talking about different announcers and different guys around the league and different guys who he not copied himself on, but tried to take some of what they did and incorporate it into his style. And, yeah, John's really serious about his work. That's probably the longest I had spent one-on-one with him, and I was very impressed. He's very serious about his work and does much more homework than I do, I can tell you that.
Did you see him sprinkle a little mystery powder into your drink so he could possibly move up the ladder of play-by-play guys?
No, he doesn't do that. He's a radio guy right now. Yeah. I don't think he's ready to make that switch over to TV yet.
Yeah, he doesn't want you dead, just Sean Grandy. All right, thank you for everything once again, Mike Gorman. That was, once again, a night that my wife is never going to forget. That was very classy of you. I truly appreciate that.
Yeah, it was a wonderful moment in the garden. I love to see it. Again, that's I take my headsets off every time, much to my producer's dismay, just to listen to what these people do, and Mary belonged out there.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it, Mike. We'll talk to you again soon, all right?
Thanks, Mike.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, see you, man. Yeah. It was great. I mean, Mike he works the floor beforehand. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone wants to talk to Mike Gorman.
Such a likable guy.
Oh, it was great. But literally, like, sitting maybe 5 feet from me was Tommy Heinsohn. I didn't even see him because he's just hanging back in the seat. Come to me, baby. And you just walk on over there. It's almost like meeting the Pope. You know, you
kiss the ring.
You kiss the ring. He's like, come on over here. I ain't got to move for no one. Yeah, so
that's
that
pretty
was,
badass, man.
That was awesome. It was great. All right, 617-779-0985. Here is Joe Murray with the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Your smart speaker knows a lot about Boston sports.
Stupid me.
Just say. Play 98.5 The Sports Hub. For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Well, this is kind of a nightmare. 98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. We have Ted Johnson in studio and Joe Murray and Dan O'Brien, our producer, just tipped me off on a story that's just now breaking, which is I've been talking about this for a while, how our privacy is just being sold. And
this
it's
is next level.
Stolen.
Rich, this is next level. Okay. It really is.
Okay, so I told you about how for the first time I got a Airbnb place when I went on my vacation. And the very first thing I did, now, first of all, I wouldn't have rented it if I didn't do like way too much research to find out that this wasn't just like a guy's house. This was a company that's almost like a hotel that rents out homes. So nobody lives in these houses. They're not private homes. They have bought up like 7 or 8 houses in this city and they just rent out those homes. Either way.
Via Airbnb.
Well, they use that as one of the companies, but you could go directly to their company. I later on found out and booked them. So the first thing I did when I got to the house is I spent probably 10 to 15 minutes looking all around the house for cameras. I went into the bathrooms. I went into the bedrooms. I looked even in the living rooms. I checked out the smoke detectors. I looked in the lamps. I saw if there's any strange trinkets or things sitting on the bookshelves.
Did you happen to look inside the wall sockets or the digital TV boxes so it looks like a remote? Did you look inside the hairdryer holder?
No.
That's where these things are popping up, Rich. It is an absolute nightmare.
So here is
there anything that had happened that preceded this trip that made you like paranoid like this or just it's just.
I watch too much Black Mirror.
Yes.
Like cameras are everywhere. That's one of the few things that truly freaks me out. So, I remember when on Facebook, who's the guy who founded Facebook? Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
There was Mark a picture Zuckerberg. That he tweeted out, and he was standing in front of his laptop, and his laptop had a sticker over the camera on his computer. And I'm thinking, if that dude knows that something's up, something's up.
Did you ever see the movie Snowden?
No, but I mean,
it's all about that. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have mentioned it too, like with your phone.
Yep.
The other day I was talking about lemonade, ginger ale. There goes pop-ups on my phone.
It's listening to you. Like your phone is listening to you. And you can doubt it anyway.
Scary. Yeah.
Dude, it's true. I mean, we opened up the phones one time and people who were randomly I told you about the story about there was a woman that I walked past coming home from, I think I was like dropping my kids off at school, and I was coming back and I saw her, and the reason that she kind of stood out, I recognized her, was that she had a little tattoo that was going up the side of her neck. So about like 30 minutes later, I get on my phone, and you know how Facebook suggests people that you might know?
Yeah.
One of them was her.
Wow.
Yeah, that's insane, man.
So it had taken like our phone locations and saw that we had walked past each other and suggested that but this, however, is next level nightmare stuff. So according to CNN, I'll just read straight from the story. Around 1,600 people have been secretly filmed in hotel rooms in South Korea with the footage live streamed online for paying customers to watch, police said Wednesday. Two men have been arrested and another pair investigated in a connection with a scandal which involved 42 rooms and 30 hotels in 10 cities around the country. Police said there was no indication the hotels were complicit in the scheme. Cameras were hidden inside digital TV boxes, wall sockets and hair dryer holders, and the footage was streamed online.
Ooh, man.
The site had more than 4,000 members.
4,000 members.
97 of whom played $44.95 monthly fee to access extra features, such as the ability to replay certain live streams. Between November 2018 and this month, police said, the service brought in upwards of $6,000. Quote, there was a similar case in the past where legal cameras were installed in hotels and were consistently and secretly watched, but this is the first time police caught where videos were being broadcast live on the internet. Now, there was a very famous case of this from, man, this might have been like 20 years ago. Do you remember that story about the guy who had that roadside motel and set up cameras in all of them and filmed for years people who, you know, just everything they did at night? We're talking adults, kids, everybody. And then brazenly wrote down all of the things that they were doing, would keep notes about like the sexual acts and everything that they did and sent it off to this guy at a university because he thought it would be good for this person's research. He'd read an article about the way people like, you know, like with sleeping habits, things like that. And so immediately this person was like, well, I'm calling the FBI. And they went and they found this guy for years had been taping people in their hotel rooms. Of course, there's always the Aaron Andrews things, which everyone, you know, talks about. But now even locally, there was a high school where they just found out some ex-student came in, I guess, during school hours, which is kind of terrifying anyway, and installed cameras in the bathrooms. Now, apparently the school knew about it for, I think, almost upwards of a year and didn't tell any of the parents about it until the investigation was done.
Oh, my God.
So this is like the stuff of nightmares. And I'm wondering, is there some sort of technology? And if there isn't, someone's going to make a ton of money. Is there some sort of technology where you could walk into a room and scan to find out whether or not there are any cameras?
Mm-hmm. There's got to be.
Well,
there's got to be.
I mean,
there's Sopranos.
Bugs,
they
would do that. I remember they would kind of like look the area.
Yeah, the law enforcement probably has
and
that.
And you've heard about like the CIA. But I'm talking about like this should be something that should be
made available
every phone.
At like Best Buy.
Something you go buy it.
Did you know
yourself?
If that was the newest innovation in the brand new smartphone, do you know how many of those that would sell?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Anytime you stayed in a hotel room, anytime you stayed in like an Airbnb, you just immediately would scan the place to figure out whether it had cameras. And now I'm learning, and this is the other nightmare thing. We're talking about this on the air. I was like, I guess that according to people who called in, and once again, we didn't have a lawyer call in, but this is something that from people who have rented out, you're allowed to install a camera into a home that you are renting to somebody as long as it is not in the bedroom or the bathroom.
So the person that's renting it doesn't have to know it's there? Or I would think legally you'd have to almost put in fine print that
you would
have that.
You would think so, but also there's something very strange about that too, because have you ever seen the fine print contract of what you sign when you rent out a house?
Yeah.
It's like Sanskrit.
That's true.
Like 8,000 words.
Yeah.
Now, however, I'm going to continue to Alt-F camera or recording or anything like that next time I sign something like that. But has anyone ever found out that they were secretly recorded? I mean, to me, that would be a nightmare. Imagine that. Imagine being like somebody who like forwards you an email, is like, dude, you're all over the internet because of the place that you rented, the hotel you were in.
I'm trying to figure out. So there's 4,000 members, according to the story, 97 of whom paid almost $50 monthly fee. What are these people? How do people find out about things like this?
Darknet, man. It's like, you know,
like,
Reddit? I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, do you advertise that this is going on? I just can't imagine. How do people find out how to get this kind of
There's dark,
stuff?
Seedy corners of the internet where bad stuff happens.
Man.
I mean, listen, you hear about it all the time. People's computers getting confiscated for bad, bad stuff. And there's all these chat rooms where people share bad, bad stuff. And that's exactly what this is. 617-779. I just freaked out. This story is going to... It's going to haunt me. It's going to stay with me for a while. 617-779-0985. Your comments on this. Well, the phones have blown up. All right. We'll get to your calls, and it'll probably end up even disturbing me even more right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Tutcher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 A Sports Hub. It is Tutcher and Rich, Ted Johnson, Joe Murray in studio, and we are just reacting to the story that just broke about apparently 1,600 people have been secretly filmed in hotel rooms. It's footage being live streamed online for paying customers to watch. Now, it was not here in America, but still, it's terrifying. Two men have been arrested, 42 rooms, 30 hotels in 10 cities. Police said there was no indication that the hotels were complicit. However, the cameras were hidden inside digital TV boxes, wall sockets, hair dryer holders, and it was all streamed online for a subscription. They had 4,000 members, 97 of whom paid $44.95 a month to access extra features such as the ability to replay certain live streams. And it's just, once again, it's building my paranoia that there's cameras everywhere and there's nowhere you can go. And as I said, when I rented an Airbnb house this past week when I was on vacation, the first thing they did for 15 minutes was look for cameras. And it's gotten to the point where just...
You've called for somebody to develop technology that where you can just have a thing in your hand.
And a detector.
A detector. You can scan the room to see if there are hidden cameras somewhere.
The peace of mind scanner. Let's go to Jake on line one. Jake, what's up, man? You're on Touch and Rich.
Hey, so I this kind of thing happened to me at a VRBO last Memorial Day. It was creepy as hell.
Okay. Hello?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yep. Sorry. A friend of ours had been doing this to us, a group of us, for years, and he had had these little cameras that were inside air fresheners and would put them in the bathrooms and watch us all in the bathrooms, and the police seized his laptops and everything. And it was like a very similar situation that it was streaming to who knows who over the internet. And it was like it rocked the group of us for a long time. But this stuff happens all the time. And unfortunately, in the state of Maine where it happened, there was like no precedent. So he got 20 days in jail and that was it.
So wait.
Lost a lot of friends.
This was at his house and he was putting – it was at his house, right?
No, sorry. It was in a rental house. And he would be the guy that would set up the rentals. He'd always go up a day early and, like, get everything settled is what he would tell us. But then he was actually putting cameras around the houses in, like, for the past 5 or 6 years of the houses that we've been going to.
And it's all like, now, did you get to see any of the video? Like, how were you contacted and how did you find out that you were being taped?
So it was kind of like one of those weird accidents. Actually, someone like knocked one over in the bathroom when we were cleaning up to leave, and there was a camera in there, and it, like, the guts spilled out. We're like, this isn't an air freshener, this is a hidden camera. And so then we contacted the police because we actually thought it was the owners who had done it. And as the police came over and details came out, it just became clear that it was this guy, and he had been doing it for a long time. And as you said, Teddy, he lost his wife. He lost a lot of friends, and unfortunately, he didn't get really much jail time or a fine or anything because the state of Maine had never had anything like this. So that this was the case that established precedent. Oh. But this has been happening to us in Connecticut, in Western Mass, when we've been renting places and all this other stuff. So it was a hell of an experience. And now, just like you said, Rich, like, we don't trust anything because of this experience that happened to us.
Oh, what a nightmare. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Jake. Alex, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey.
Listen, I don't know why you would use the word disturbing. If anything, for me, you know, after you've been married a couple of years, you have a girlfriend for a while, I always perform in the bedroom as if I'm on camera. It keeps you on point. No, seriously, it keeps you on point. It keeps things spicy.
Sure.
You know, I go to my esthetician every 3 weeks, make sure everything's nice and smooth. Do that with your marriage. Hey, act like you're on camera at all times.
Believe it or not, Rich, I know people, they're like, so I don't care if they're watching. Like, you know, like, there's some people that are just very comfortable. Like,
good for them.
Call them maybe exhibitionists, if you will, that have zero problem with stuff like this.
I'll tell you what, that's one thing I never want to see a video of myself doing.
Yes.
Ever. I like the image in my head of me. Like, did you ever see the movie? Okay, so random. Did you ever see the movie movie MacGruber?
Yeah.
Okay, which it's like a complete sneaky great movie. Like, it has one scene in it where there's this like love scene, and he's got these candles lit, and he's imagining him being this Romeo, and then you just see him in the like in real life. It's like, you know. So I like the way I think of myself when doing that. All right, let's go to how about line four, Justin? What's up, man?
Hey guys, hey.
Hey.
What's up?
So, talking, I travel a ton for work, and you mentioned, you know, checking out your rental and looking for cameras. There's a super easy way to do it. If you take, you know, turn the lights off in your hotel room or whatever and take the flashlight from your cell phone, keep it at eye level and just kind of keep moving it around everywhere. The lens on those cameras, even if they're tiny, will light up like a Christmas bulb when your flashlight hits it if the room is dark. There are some apps to check, like, what might be using Wi-Fi, but in a hotel, that's going to be tough because everybody's phone is on Wi-Fi. But that's just, it's a really easy way. Take 10 minutes, go through, and at least give you a little bit more peace of mind.
Well, I mean, that helps, but it's still not enough. Let's go to Tyler, line five. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, steak and eggs, boys.
What's up, man?
Hey, so not so much about the video recording, but I think it was Big Joe or Ted that mentioned this, is about, you know, talking about something and then seeing an ad. So I work in digital advertising, and if there's anything I've learned is that those companies, obviously the big ones, will, in the fine print, you know, get access to obviously your data, but your microphone, for example. So my wife and I, you know, we were trying for a kid. We're talking about baby stuff, and then, you know, later on you see ads for baby stuff. And, of course, no one's going to, you know, read that fine print. Rich, you nailed it on the head. Because they're just going to download it, teens, adults alike. So, you know, it's insane. I'll never put a Google or whatever that thing's called, but like an Alexa in my house. Because that's basically just giving those companies a microphone to listen to everything you do and then in turn sell all that data.
Well, I mean, there's been, and thanks for calling, Tyler. I mean, there's been instances where conversations have been recorded and emailed to somebody inside your contacts list. And then there's been situations where people have talked to like random people through Alexa. What was the story with the camera that was talking about the baby? These parents were in another room and they heard from the nursery a strange voice, and they walked in and it was some guy talking to the child through the camera. And they're like, the parents start freaking out. And they're just like, we just wanted to tell you that this could happen. Wow. And like, I mean, that's a true story. That was on like the Today Show. So that stuff happens. They hack into these cameras all the time.
Wow.
All right, now you just fed my paranoia even worse.
Wow.
So thank goodness Billy Jaffe's here to hold me and make me feel better. So we will talk to Billy Jaffe, who, of course.
Got his banana.
Thank you, Billy. I appreciate that, big guy. We will talk about Jake DeBrusque and why the Boston Bruins are winning because the TNR bump right after the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.